scripture that talks about the birth of Jesus. And I'd like to talk to you this evening about the most important person at work in this world today. So Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. True story. Because if it wasn't for this story, all the other stories in the Bible would have absolutely no relevance whatsoever. Because if Jesus isn't God, then we have no hope. Jesus wasn't born as the Bible says he was born. His father was a man, he's not God. He didn't come to earth as we celebrated at Christmas, then there's no possibility of the cross, crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, the forgiveness of our sins, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the ongoing mission of the church. This is a true story. You believe that? Good, you know. Yeah, we're on a good tour. We're friends. Joe doesn't need to start the car just yet. But can you imagine being Joseph in a situation like this, ready to marry the girl of his dreams, and suddenly discovers that she's pregnant? I admire Joseph so much because he decided that he didn't want to put the table to disgrace. He'd been wronged, didn't it, because he was a righteous man. He said, I'll look after you. And he has a dream. I like dreaming because it means sleeping, and I like sleeping, so I force my children so all the sleep I can get, the better. And I love the fact that God is a God who speaks, and speaks to us in ways that we can't control and we can't manufacture. He speaks to people through dreams, and he speaks to Joseph, and he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In every generation, there are things that Christians could be afraid of, but God says, don't be. There are situations and circumstances, there are opportunities, there are challenges outside of ourselves that you could choose to be afraid of, but God always says to his people, in every situation and circumstance, don't be afraid. It's a command, so I'm not allowed to be afraid. You know, when God asked me, you know, did you do what I told you? Did you? And I said, no, I was afraid, since I told you not to be. And what would I have an excuse? He commands me not to be afraid. It's not an option, it's not a choice, it's not something I got from the Citizens Advice Bureau. God commanded us not to be afraid. And God says to Joseph, you don't need to be afraid because the baby that is conceived in Mary's womb is from the Holy Spirit. And many, many people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. They talk about him as if he's some kind of strange being, some kind of Uncle Fester from the Addams Family type figure whose job it is to destroy and wreck everything, and Jesus comes along and makes all that happen. But the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father and the Son. So the Holy Spirit is to be worshipped, he's to be obeyed, he's to be believed, he's to be spoken to, he's to be listened to. He's God. And he's the only person. He's the only member of the Godhead who's at work in this world today. Jesus is in heaven, and the Father is in heaven, but the Spirit is here at work in this world. And if we want to be Christians, as the Bible describes, living for Jesus in this world, then we need to get to know the most important person working in this world. That person isn't me, it isn't you, it's not Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin or Emmanuel Macron, it's not the head of Apple, Google, Amazon, whoever. The most important person at work in this world today is the person of the Holy Spirit. It's the first person of the Godhead we meet in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. At the end of the Bible, if you're not read the end of the Bible, I'll give away the ending very soon. We find the Spirit and the Bride, the Spirit and the Church saying, come Lord Jesus. The Bible is a book from beginning to end about God taking hold of his people and walking in and through them by the Spirit. And in our day, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go like he did in the Old Testament. He's not a presence that comes and goes. He's a presence that remains. He's the abiding presence. He's with us if you're a Christian. He's with you. And he's for you. And he lives inside. And he's the most important person at work in this world. And if we're going to be effective at knowing God, we're going to be effective in serving him, if we're going to be effective in following him, if we're going to be effective in bringing his kingdom that we spoke about this morning to this earth, then we would do well to get to know and to obey the most important person working in this world today, and that's the person of the Holy Spirit. And you don't need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit, because whatever the Holy Spirit does, and whatever the Holy Spirit produces, always points you to Jesus. How do I know? Because of this story. See, Joseph is afraid, and the angel says to him, you don't need to be afraid. What's in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. Now, we all know the end of the story. We know that who was there, who was born, was going to be Jesus. And we read all the stories about Jesus, and we see all the miracles he performed, and we see all the teachings that he gave, and we see the way he cared for the leper and loved the outcast and prayed for the children. We like what we see when we look at Jesus, don't we? If you don't like what you see when you look at Jesus, you're probably religious. Because everybody else, apart from religious people, loved Jesus. I'm glad you're here, because I love him alone. He is American. There's no one like Jesus. He's done loads of people. And as I said to everybody this morning, he's the same yesterday. Yeah? And so, when Joseph is told, you don't have to pray, but something is the Holy Spirit. And then he's born this Jesus, is God with us, the Bible says. The one who's going to take away our sins. The one who, if we get to chapter 2, if we want to see him, we find his worth to be worshipped. Even by kings. Even by the great and the wise and the clever of this world. He's all of this is because of the Holy Spirit. And when God is working in your life, he's working in your life at all times so that he can show you more and more of his Son Jesus. And the only way he wants to do that is to the person of the Holy Spirit. You know the stuff that you're trying to do in your own strength and money that's not working? It's dry? Why is that? The Lord wants to show you that the person of the Holy Spirit is going to make a difference. And so, what we have here, we have a wonderful story that tells us that on the front end of God's promises and at the beginning of God's purposes, sometimes we can be afraid and a little worried and a bit concerned. What's going to happen? What's it going to look like? Is it going to destroy the church? Is it going to wreck my life? Is it going to take over my house? You don't need to be afraid. If it's of the Holy Spirit, it'll point you to Jesus. We'll read one more passage of scripture and then we're going to. I'm assuming there's probably a lot that's coming, isn't it? We looked at this scripture, someone read this to us this morning. Go to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Psalm 36. The most important person at work in this world today is the person of the Holy Spirit. And I trust as people come to visit you week on week that they talk to you about the Holy Spirit. He is the best person in the world. I'm so glad to know Jesus Christ, and I'm so glad he sent the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better that I go away
so that I can send you the Holy Spirit.
Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we won't fear, for the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. But there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has wrought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in you. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This psalm shows us two contrasting things happening at the same time in life. An ever-increasing instability on the one hand, and an ever-increasing security on the other. We have the nations shaking, the kingdoms tottering, people in worry and anguish and fear. Sounds a little like holiday, doesn't it? Sounds a bit like holiday. On the other side, though, you have the city of God, the church. And what you have in the midst of this city is a river. The person of the Holy Spirit who makes the city worried, terrified, fearful? No. Glad. There is a stream whose, there's a river whose stream shall make glad the city. God is in the midst of her. She won't fall. And look, think of the church throughout. Age upon age upon age upon age, people try to destroy it, people try to persecute it, people try to make fun of it, people try to ignore it. And still 2,000 years later, the church of Jesus Christ is alive and well, because Jesus is alive and well. And so we can decide this evening to be like Joseph. We could decide to be afraid. We could decide to concentrate on the headlines in the news, the gossip on the street, the politics in the workplace, the dilemma in the family. We face all these things up. We all live in the real world. We can choose to focus our attention on that, or we can choose to do what Joseph did and trust the voice of God and say, if it's the Holy Spirit, then it's going to lead me. The wonderful thing for us to know is that when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, even though we might not be able to explain the circumstances outside of us, and even though they might not change, there is a river whose stream shall be glad. There's a verse in the book of Nehemiah which says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not my joy, it's not the joy of James is your strength, it's not that your joy is your strength, it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. How happy is God in your picture from your mind? Is he a happy God? Do you see God the Father in heaven as a kind of a stern schoolmaster who's kind of got a big list of another mistake? Because his joy is your strength. If you don't see God as a happy being, you can't take hold of his strength for your life. But God is happy. It says of Jesus that he's the happiest man on the face of the earth. Hebrews chapter 1 says that he was anointed with the oil of Job above all his fellows because he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. He was the most happy person on the face of the earth. His joy is your strength. And there is for us, available all the time, there is for us a river that we can draw upon, a well we can drink from, a person we can get to know who can give us strength and joy to overcome the challenges of life. And I pray.
prayer for us all is that as we talk together and as we walk out God's journey together, we'll come to know Him more and more. This is the only person who can change the world. We're going to break that down. Jesus died, God raised Him from the dead, and then He's going to come again. And not only take bread, we feast on Him, He's the bread of life, we're going to take bread and remember that He is my true food. And we will take wine and remember that He has forgiven us all our sins, that He's healed all our diseases, and that all the benefits and blessings of the new covenant are ours, not because we deserve it, not because we're clever, not because we're cool, not because we're fashionable, not because we're from Cardiff, simply because of His grace. It's a scandal, isn't it? His grace is a scandal. I didn't deserve it. That's why it's grace. So should we pray and we can pass the gift of God? Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be together in Your presence. We thank You that this is the most important meal we'll eat this week. We just pray as we take the bread and as we drink the wine, we'll be reminded again of You and we proclaim Your death unto You. We pray this in Jesus' name.